Good morning. Last week, we began the sugya of Zenen of Ezel Chaser. And as we discussed, although the halacha is that when someone is nana, when one person benefits from another person's money, there's a chi of nana, there's a chi of to pay. When it is a zen nana of ezel chaser, when one person benefits, but it does not come at the expense of another, it doesn't cost, there's no loss to the other party, the halacha is kaifin al midas stoim. You cannot send the person a bill, even though he had ha'anah, but since it didn't cost you anything, the halacha is you're not allowed to charge him for that ha'anah, and doing so would be a midas stoim. That being said, if it is a zenen of ezel chaser, if you have any loss whatsoever, then according to most rishonim, a gagol and a loves akol, you can send him a bill for the entire benefit. So the classic example is if a person is away for the summer, you figure a cheaper vacation, instead of going to the bungalow, you just move into your friend's house. So halach is, ador b'chaser chaveroi, as long as it is not a new house, halach is, it is zen end of zel chaser. You're enjoying it, he's out of town anyway, he cannot send you a bill. However, if it is chaser, if it was a brand new house, and by you living there, you cause some amount of damage, it's not new anymore, the walls are a bit blackened, once there's any chisaron, magaglo v'sakol, he can send you a bill for the full market value of this house. Now this chaser, this loss, does not have to be very much. We pointed out from Taisus in Ksubis, it's even if it's less than a pruta, still, it's a loss. Once the owner is losing something, there's no longer any midas toim, and he can send you a bill for the full value of the benefit. So we said over Hashem the Rajba. The Rajba asks that every time you live in a house, there's a certain level of wear and tear. But what the Rajba says is that you need a chisaron, which is nikarin, and it's yidua v'nikula dayanim. It has to be measurable. The fact that theoretically every time you drive a car there's a certain amount of wear and tear on the brakes is not going to be enough. It has to be something which you can point to, which is measurable, which is noticeable.
What about utilities? The person who lives in that house.
Good. So in theory, it's true. Perhaps you can move in, but just don't turn on the lights. In truth, I would think that because utilities is a completely separate cheshbon, if you're going to use $100 of utilities, if you leave a $100 bill there, I would say it's not called a chaser. Now, it's a little bit tricky, because if you blacken the walls and you offer to pay for that hezek, that's not going to help. Once there's a chesar and muat, your magaglan of sakol, you have to pay the entire amount. But a utility bill, I would suggest that you're not damaging him. What you're doing is, you're racking up a bill on his behalf. So as long as you put the cash down in advance, he has the money, causing him to get a bill for $100, when you give him a $100 bill, is not called a hezek. So in that case, I would think that it's fine. But any other type of damage, any direct damage to the house, that would be a chesaron, and then he can send you a bill for the entire benefit that he had. Now, what happens if it is not clear? Maybe you'll have a loss. Who knows? You want to park in someone's parking lot. It's right near the bus, right near the train. You're running late. So you want to park in his, leave your car in the store's parking lot, go to work, and that evening, you'll come back, you'll pick it up. Now, if there aren't many customers in the store, then the owner won't lose anything. On the other hand, if he's a popular store today and people fill up the lot, and because your car was there, a customer could not find parking, there will be a hefsid. So over here, the Tzais and the Marsham both say that whenever there's any tzad, chesar, and even a dover muat, the halacha is, you're not allowed to do it. Because kaifan al midas stoim, again, it's a midas stoim to take advantage, to stop someone from getting a benefit when there's no loss to you. If there's a possibility of a loss, even though it's not for sure, but the possibility itself, it's no longer midas stoim. You're the owner. It belongs to you. It's perfectly reasonable to say, I'm not interested in taking a risk to help you out. And therefore, according to the way the Ktzai says it, there would be absolutely no kaifan al midas stoim. If there's any chance, there will be a hefsid. Now, the Ritva in Bava Basra has a case where he says it's a very extremely remote chashash. He says, although it's not a real midas toim, But nevertheless, midrabbanan, we're koyfa afal pikein. It's very hard to give clear guidelines to this. Also, the Ma'arik in Siman Kuf Yud Beis seems to argue. Ma'arik says that as long as it probably will not cause a loss, he says there's koyfa amidus stoyim, even though anything's possible. So again, it's hard to know exactly if it is a machlokes. It's very difficult to compare the cases. Marik's case happens to have been a one-time risk. You were doing something. It probably wouldn't cause a loss, but anything's possible. There, the Marik says, koyfen al midas toim. It's possible if it's a long-term type of thing, which the Ritva's case is, it has to do with where you're putting a window, where it's a long-term relationship. So there, over time, it could be everyone would agree there would be no koyfen al midas toim. Perhaps a one-time event, you if it's a remote possibility, we go like the Ma'arik, the Koyfen al midas toim.
He says there's no difference between a hefset and a minias reva, or it can even be a sex-faithful minias reva. Maybe someone will leave the spot. And even if you take the spot, maybe he'll buy something.
Right, sex faker is by Yisr v'heter, and the difference between Minias HaRevach and Hefseid, and it's an Yisr v'heter. We have Shilas we're Mekel b'Shas HaTchak by a Hefseid quicker than we'll be Mekel by Minias HaRevach. Over here, let's go back. This parking lot doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the owner. And although when he has no loss, there perhaps is a Koyfen al Midas Toim, but Mokoyim, he has a legitimate reason to say, I don't want people here. It's no longer midas toim. Now, I don't care whether in lomdus it's a revach or a hefsit. I don't care whether it's a sex sveka or three svekas. But if there is a possibility, a real possibility, that by you parking he'll have a loss, it's no longer midas toim to say, I don't want you to do that.
Does it apply to
metathlin
also?
Metathlin, in theory it should. But problem is that by metathlin is a concept of shalosh loimidas gazlin. Whenever you take something that metallic that belongs to someone, now that you take it, there's a risk. You can walk off with it. You can forget to return it. You can break it. There are other chashashos. So there, where you're taking it into your possession, there it would probably be shalosh lemidas, and this would generally not apply. Right. So there, once you're using things where there's a real chashash that'll break, or now there's a real kapeda, because if you walk in and now there you're going to use metatl in there, I would say on that you're shalosh midas. Correct.
On the metatl.
If you want to go in and not use the metatl in, then that's fine. You want to bring in.
Let's say someone comes in the house and uses it for 2 months. The question is, he's using the metatl.
Yeah. If he's sleeping on the beds and using the linens, I think on that there would probably be a kapeda. But if you want to bring in your own bedding and just live in the house, you know, they realize the shayos in the Gemara, dor b'chatzar chaver, what did they have in their houses anyway? This is a two-room house made out of mud. There was nothing there.
But once he's using the top, you have to pay for the rental of the car as well.
Oh, lavdavka. I don't know that they're, I think they're two distinct things. I think on the metaltolin, he's a goslin. And you have to realize, when you use the metaltolin, although shalosh l'midas goslin, that chumra is really a kula. Because a goslin only pays k'shas akzeil. So if you use metalton, I borrow your car. So forget about whether then and vizel chaser it is a chaser or not. The fact that I'm a gazlan on the car means I pay kashas akzela, and I wouldn't have to pay rent for the use, again, unless it's oyim liskar, it's technicalities.
But in a case where there's really no hilah to go ahead.
Oh, so we'll get to that. Right, we'll get to that. We've been discussing after the fact, right, the parking garage parking lot we switched to the chakila. We'll address that in a moment. No, the point is, by a goslin that steals something and uses it, he generally does not have to pay rent. Even though he stole it, he used it for 20 years, he gave it back, as long as he didn't damage it, the goslin just gives it back, and he's pater. You cannot bill him for the use. So the fact that you become a goslin, it's certainly a chumra, you're a goslin, but in the dine mamonis, you'll end up as a kulo, you will not have to pay for the use. Mashenken, in cases where you're not a goslin, you have the right to do it, there, if it's a zen or a chaser, you have to pay for the entire hana.
But if you take a guy's car and you return it 2 years later, you're not returning the same value you stole.
Well, if it's depreciation, the fact that if you took the car, put it in a garage, locked it up, and just the fact that it's 2 years older, that is not, that you would not be responsible for. On the other hand, if you drove it and there was wear and tear, that's a hezek. So there you'd pay out some mazik, but not for the hana. The hezek is probably a lot less than the fair market value of the rental. But let's, again, that's in Dine Gzela. We're going to have to put that aside for now.
What about going on the train or bus?
Okay, good. So we'll get back to that at the end of this year. Now, there's a fascinating case in Amud Eish. He had the following situation. There was a person, he had a vacant storefront. He wasn't looking to rent it out, and it was just sitting there vacant. Someone came in, and he figured a good business opportunity. He moved into the storefront, and he opened the store. So wonderful. This sounds like a classic case of Zenen of Azel Chaser, and you don't have to pay. He didn't cause any damage. He was very neat and very clean. The problem was that the store that he opened was a direct competitor to his landlord. Now, the landlord had a pizza shop down the block. This fellow moved in, squatted into the landlord's vacant store a block away. And to add insult to injury, not only did he move in, he opened a competing pizza shop. So the question is this a Zen Nene Vizel Chaser or not? So the tenant said, I was very neat, I was very clean, I didn't cause any damage. The store is in perfect condition. So I'm a Nene, I moved in. You're a Loy Chaser. So not only am I going to compete with you, my pizza is going to be less expensive because I don't have to pay rent. The store owner said, what are you talking about? Of course I'm a chaser. My sales of pizza dropped dramatically because now there's someone undercutting me a block away. The squatter said, okay, but what does that have to do with being here? We're talking about living in this storefront. Me being in the storefront is Zen and Vizel Chaser. You have a business that's going sour? Okay, that's a separate deal. So Amud Eish discusses a similar case. And he blabs Sarachim. You know, he says he's not sure. Perhaps to be a Zen and a Vizel Chaser, the loss has to be directly related to your use of the premises. Now, although the Amud Eish is Mesupik, both the Noid of Yehuda and the Divrei Malkiel both say as a Dover Pashut that this would be considered a Chasar. And again, the explanation is if the whole point is that sending someone a bill for a hana when you don't have any loss is a midas toim. So if you have any loss, I don't care whether it's direct, indirect, rama, garmi, it doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is I'm losing out by you being here, so I have the right to send you a bill. Now this whole discussion was all we're dealing with after the fact. Someone moved in. The owner realized it a few months later. He wants to send a bill. So in that we say, Zenev is Elo Chaser, you do not have the right to send a bill. What about L'chadkilu? Your neighbor, you know, is going away for the summer. So you call him up and you say, listen, we just learned this shiur about Zenev is Elo Chaser. If I move into your house and you discover you only realize after the summer, your halacha is you can send me a bill. Okay. But we also learned that if it's a chaser, if I do any damage, then I'm not going to be able to do it. You're going to have to bill me the entire amount. Now, when you go out, when you leave, I'm going to have to break your lock and disable your alarm. That's going to be a chaser. So I want you, before you go, to give me the key. Give me the accommodation to the alarm. And then it's a zen and a vizela chaser. Now your neighbor, I don't know your relationship with your neighbor, but in all likelihood he'll tell you to jump in the lake. I'm not giving you my combination or the key. So you haul him in front of the Bezdin, and you say the halacha is koifin al midas stein, right? You can force someone to not to act like they are in stein. Since you're not gonna have a loss if I move into your house, I should be able to force you to give me the key, give me the alarm combination. And that way, I'll have hana. You won't have a chesar. You won't have any loss. And why should we act like we're in Sedayim? Good taina. So Zogar Amah, nothing doing. Zogar Amah, the whole halacha koyven amidas toim means after the person squatted, the owner realizes what happened. He sends him a bill. So we say koyven amidas toim. You can't bill him for something where you didn't have a loss. However, Zok the Ramah in Chin Samach Gimel Sevav, the Davka Shekvar Darboy. This halacha is only after you've lived there. You can't force your neighbor to let you move into your house. The Avol Pita Dekoyven Amidas Time. The Malkim Shazen Erevzen Chaser. Hani Mili Bedavar Di Boy Lihanes LaYuchal Lihanes. Abuchi Hai Gavna Di Boy Bal HaChaser Lihanes LaHarviach LaHaskar Chatzeser HaYuachol. Zok the Ramah, a tremendous chiddush. Zok the Ramah, koyven al midas toim is after the fact. However, To force someone to let me come into his house to use his nechasim, the Rama says you can never do. Because the owner, although this is a chassid dolei kaim of the agra, although your neighbor wasn't planning on renting it out, if he wanted to, he could. It's his house, it's his money. He has the right to sell it to whoever he wants, he has the right to rent it out to whoever he wants. And therefore the Rama says, if since he has the right, this is something which he could monetize if he wants to, he has the right to say, I don't want you to come in. Now what's mashma from the Rama is, let's say there's absolutely no rental market for this house. Your neighbor's going away for 2 days. There's no way you have a house sitting on a residential block in Muncie. If you want to rent it out for next Tuesday, you're not going to find anyone who wants to rent it. The Rama is mashma, koifen al midasai. The whole reason why we can't force the chachila is the person could say, hey, this is an asset that I could rent out, I can make money off, so I don't want you to come in for free. But if it's something which you can't rent out, according to the Rama, it's meduya, you can be koifa even lechachila. So let's go back to our case. You're running late to the train, and you need to find a parking spot, and you want to park in, there's a shopping center. So if there's a hefsid, if customers might come and they won't have a place to park, it's certainly awesome. But let's say there's absolutely no hefsid. We know it's a Tuesday, the parking lot is not going to be full. So there the owner is a loy chaser. Even if he says, I don't want you to come in, according to the Rama, if it's not something that he could sell, if there's no value, no market for rent, you know, for parking spots in Muncie, the halacha is kaifan al midasai. Now, others argue, the Noi de Yehuda, the Beis Ephraim, the Divrei Melkiel, all are medayik from a number of other Rishayim. The other Rishayim say that this halacha is across the board. Kaifan al midasai is never lechachila. You can never force someone to let you use the asset of Hakila, it's only halacha after the fact. But you know, it'll come out, this machlokes like has, you know, tremendous nafkamina l'halacha. In a case where the owner cannot make money off it, he can't sell it to anyone, he can't rent it to anyone, according to the Rama, it sounds like you could be koifa even l'chachila. You can tell him, listen, you have no loss, I'm going to have a benefit, I can force you to give it to me. According to the other Rishayim, you can't. Yeah, Bar Metz is really a din on the lekach, not on the moicher. It's not a question of forcing him to sell. It's a question of the lekach as a din of a shliach, and it's a completely different sugya.
What about this case of the house? Let's say the guy had lots of interest in his house. He said, "Of course, then we'll get down to that." And I don't care about the market. These have intrinsic value for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. Therefore, you know, like you can't replace him. You can give him the money. So
That's a good point. It would seem that in a case where there is a chashash, let's go back. The whole point is koifen al midastoyim. The person has an empty house and it's just four walls where there's not much damage a tenant can do. There, it's a koifen al midastoyim. If your house is full of expensive items and delicate things, which there's a very real fear that if someone comes in, their things may be damaged or lost, I would say there was no midastoyim, and certainly if he makes a malchah, he has the right to stop you. If you want to use it, then it has value. Certainly, if the owner certainly if the owner wants to use this room, I can't move into the room and say koifen al midastoyim and lock you out. But the question is, the owner is not there anyway; he's on vacation. I want to force him while you're gone. Let me use the house. So Rama says it'll depend if the owner has the ability to rent it out for this period. So whether he does or not is irrelevant. He has the right to make a macha and say you can't come in. On the other hand, it's not marketable, it's not rentable for this period, and he's not using it, according to Rama, koifen al midastoyim. He's in the Caribbean. He can't benefit. He's not using it. So now it's what? Okay, you don't. I don't think when it has something that has monetary value or actual use, that there we find there's no kaifin on midas din, but in other cases that would be according to the Rambam. Now, halacha, because it is a machlokes, because the Noi de Behuda and the Devarim El-Kiel point out, many Rishonim argue, you would not be able to force anyone l'chadchila, even when he cannot monetize it. Again, we'll see. We actually will see at the end of this year an interesting naf where it does play a role in halacha. Right, so that is not discussed specifically. It would seem there is a concept of shalosh lamidas is a gazlan. Normally, if I borrow something, even though I'm giving it back, even though there's no loss, person still has a din of a gazlan. By karka, there are shitas that say there is no concept of shalosh lamidas gazlan. There is also the machin Ephraim is medayik from some rishonim that even shalosh lamidas is only a gazlan because it's possible that it'll come to a loss. A person can walk off with the item, he can break it, it can get worn out. In a case where there's no potential loss, according to medayik from some rishonim, there's no din of shalosh lamidas gazlan. Now, if you go with that, so then if you move into the karka in a case where it's a zanan mizela chaser, where there's no possibility of a hefsid, there would not be any shalosh lamidas. Now that being said, the medayik from there's the goyin over there in Shin Samach Gimel, the Yam Shah Shleiman of Pnei Yeshua, that sound like it might be Asr L'Chadchila to do it. Obviously the shitas that hold you can be Kaifa hold it's Mutar L'Chadchila. But they're going on the shitas that hold you can't be Kaifa. There are some Mashmoyis in the Poiskim that it would be Asr. But it's not completely clear. There's discussion back and forth whether it is. Taisis and Bavasra asks, Akasha, why do you need a Pasuk by Bechor? Lord Nech Kaifa on me this time. The Kash implies it's Daraisa. One of the Terutzim is perhaps it's the Rabbanon. Maybe it's only that, but there's discussion about that.
So if you want to use, let's say, go to someone's backyard and use the swing set,
mm-hmm.
which is the top.
Well, no, actually, the swing set is attached to the ground.
It's attached to the ground.
It's Talashub Saiv Kubroi, which might be another machlokes, but Pasha's right now, it's Karka. There's no potential loss. So if people are makbid, you're disturbing their privacy. That's something that people have the right to be makbid on. And if they're, you know, they're enjoying a barbecue and you want to just come in and use the swing set, clearly there'll be no kaif on me this time. In a case where they're simply not home, they're and they don't care about it, that would be a case of kaif on me this time. Well, he's being Machmer, that l'chadchila you can't be koif al midas doim. He's being makel that this chumrah is limited to when you could rent it out. In other cases, he holds you could be koif al midas doim.
He qualifies that l'chadchila.
Exactly.
That only applies if you could possibly rent it out.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if you cannot rent it out, mm-hmm. he holds you allowed to go l'chadchila and use it.
Correct. Now the Mechaber has another halacha, and this sort of, you know, very much, depending on how far you take it, this very much limits the entire concept. Mechaber says, the whole issue of Kaifan al Midasayim, the fact that you don't have to pay by Zenem Vizel Echaser, is only when you walk in, the owner's not around, he doesn't say anything, you squat, and after the fact, there's a discussion about whether you have to pay. However, Zakhna Mechaber, if the owner says, get out of here, I don't want you here, Mechaber says, there, in all cases, you would be forced to pay. So right, if you hold that koyfen al midas doim l'chadchil, you can force me to come in, then clearly the fact that he says, I don't want you here, he doesn't have the right to do that. You can force him. So Mechaber clearly paskins like the Ram, like that part of the Ramah, that even that l'chadchilo, you cannot force a person to go in. And it sounds like he paskins like that across the board. That no matter what, you always have the right before the fact to say, I don't want you here. Once you make that machla, and the person comes in anyway, it's a day to the hochi to pay. Now, it's interesting that when the Mechaber writes, the Beis Yosef brings down this halacha, he brings it to Rabbeinu Yerucham, so the Beis Yosef says, Pashat, it doesn't even need an explanation, it's, no one could argue with this, if the owner says leave, and you don't, you have to pay. What's interesting is the Ramah, in the next line, has a chiddush. He talks about a case where a person was living in a house, and another person came along, and picked up the owner of the house, and threw him out of the house. Physically evicted him. Now the owner, luckily, had another house down the block. So he moved into his other house, and that was that. He couldn't do anything. The fellow who evicted him was a big fellow, and that was that. A few weeks later, the owner of the house brought the squatter to Beis Din and said, I want you to pay. You threw me out of the house. You lived in it. I want you to pay me for the use. The fellow who lived there said, what do you mean? Zen and Zelichaser. You aren't going to rent it out. You had two houses all the time, and you always had an empty house. You had no intention of renting it out. So it's true, I evicted you, and I had Hana, but you had no loss, you can't send me a bill. Zok the Rama, he's right, and he's Pater. So the Knesset Gedolah points out, and the Amshar Shlomi points out, this seems to be a stira. Madoch, if the owner politely tells the fellow, you know what, this is my house, please leave. The halacha is, according to the Mechaber, no kai from me this time. Now you have to pay. So if the fellow comes in and takes the owner, throws him out the door, certainly it's clear the owner doesn't want you there, and certainly you should have to pay according to the Mechaber. So because of this, some places can say that it's Machlokes Mechaber and Rama. The problem is that Mechaber and Rama, it's one line after another, and it doesn't seem to be Machlokes. What the Minchas Pitim says, he says a very nice teretz. He says that it really depends on the case. If the case was where this house was a house where you could rent it out, it had marketable value, so it's true the owner wasn't going to rent it out. But there were even the Rama Paskin, that if it's something the owner could sell to someone else, everyone agrees there's no kaifin al midas on the chadchila. And in that case, if it's a case where it had no marketable value, the other law is kaifin al midas on the chadchila. So then, although perhaps it's not mutter to evict the person, to throw the landlord, the owner out, but because it's something that can't be sold or can't be rented, even though the owner made a malcha, you don't have to pay. But I'm saying the mechaber where he said, and the owner asks you to leave, you have to pay, he's talking about the middle case. He's talking about a case where it's true the owner wasn't going to rent it out, but he could have rented it out. Since it has some amount of market value, there the Rama agrees you cannot be kaif al midas on the chachila, and there the halacha is if the person asked you to leave and you didn't, there you would have to pay. Now, look. What? I'm not sure what the point is, but. Well, it's like that, right. So if you put hang up a sign, no trespassing, l'chayr, that's the equivalent of asking the person to leave. So it'll come out, if you follow this mechaber, that when the person says leave, then there's no kaifin al midas toim. So then if a person hangs up a sign, that's the same thing. And if you really want to take it further, any time that it's clear, everyone understands, the owner doesn't want people there, that l'chayr should be the equivalent of tzeh. So once you follow this, then many, many cases of kaifin al midas toim fall away. Well, let me just. I've been teasing everyone about the Wi-Fi connection, so I have to, if I don't do it now. So let's get back to using someone's Wi-Fi. You want to check your email. You don't have the internet in your house either because of the various takanos or you're too cheap. So you want to log on to your neighbor's unsecured Wi-Fi connection and check your email. Are you allowed to or not? Now, L'chayra, you're being nanny. You're getting the free use of the internet. What? The other person, is he a chaser or not a chaser? That we'll have to discuss. So, but l'chayr, that's what it should depend on. If he's a loy chaser, if he's not losing anything, so I'm having a no. He's not losing anything, it should be fine. Mashengen, if he is chaser, if he does have a hefsid, then the halacha is, then it should be aser. Now, hold on. And just, before I go through the different studies, I just want to make clear, there are two other factors which I'm not going to deal with. And that is, number one, we're discussing between you and the neighbor whether you do anything wrong to the neighbor. There's a separate issue as far as the ISP, the internet provider. They may have rules as far as 10 families sharing connections where they may have a kapeda. I don't know what the rules are. I never read through the contract, so we're just going to put that aside. We're not going to address that at all. The second point is that in some states, at least, I believe there are laws about accessing other people's networks. I'm not familiar with the laws and what is in New York or New Jersey, so also I'm going to put aside. We're not going to address. We're going to discuss the zanin of zel chaser. Are you allowed to log on or not? Now, the first objection is that l'chayra it's a chaser, because when you're using his connection, chances are it's using some amount of electricity. There's information being sent back and forth across the router, so there's some marginal amount of extra electricity being used. As we explained before, the halacha of zaner v'zelech chaser is only when there is absolutely no chesaron. If there is any loss, even if it's less than a shava pruta, There, there's no kaifan amid this time. Ah, very good. So this luchara is not a taina. Because we said over from the Rajva that every time you move into a chatzar, there's some minimal amount of wear and tear. Nevertheless, the Gemara uses this as a case of zenev zelechasa. So the Rajva, it has to be something which is nikkur and yadu l'dayanim, but it has to be something which is measurable, which is nikkur. If you would go to this person's house and look at his electric meter, while someone logs on and checks his email, there's probably no measurable spike in how quickly the meter's moving. It's probably a minute fraction of a penny. And it's probably something which is not nicker at all. So in such a case, again, I'm not a computer person, but assuming these facts are correct, that there's virtually no extra usage, there, as far as that's been, that chasar and l'chari would not count, and that would not be a reason to make it asa. A second issue, which I think is more of a problem, is bandwidth. If you're logging on to his internet connection, if the owner is there at the same time using this connection, there are now two people sharing the same bandwidth, and everyone's connection is going to be slower. Now this, you know, obviously depends on the case. It probably depends on whether he has a DSL or a cable or a dial-up. But it may depend on also what you're doing. If you're going ahead and you're checking your email, so what I'm told is, and again, I don't know the facts, but what I'm told is that it's not going to make a measurable difference to him. Checking your email uses very, very minimal amount of bandwidth, and it won't be noticeable, so although it will slow it down in theory, if it's not something which is nicker, it would not be a problem. On the other hand, if you're downloading a high-quality video of a shir, and you're going to hog up the bandwidth for the next 15 minutes, that's something which, if the owner is going to be trying to use the connection at the same time, that clearly would be a chesaron. And there would clearly be also. Now, the makom safek, if it is a safek, if you don't know whether the owner is on it or not, pashas it would be also, because to a certain extent you're being a mazik, or perhaps a shalosh lemidas. So if it can go either way, it would be aser. But if it's clear there won't be a hefsid, there it should be mutter. Now, there is one other factor to take into account. There's a fascinating, it's really from Yerushalmi, but it's brought down in Mechaber, it's in Shunun Tes. There's a halacha, if a person is traveling, and he has something stuck between his teeth, so he passes, what he does, so the halacha is it's mutter to take a little splinter off a fence to clean out your mouth. Now, if you're taking away a splinter, you're taking away something of, but since it has no measurable value, even though you're taking it, it's not a shayla, you're not giving it back. The halacha is it's mutter, people are not makbid on it, and you're allowed to do that. Zak the mechaber, that's true. But there's, although it's mutter la halacha, but there's a midas chasidus not to do it. Why? Because it's true when you come, you want to clean out your mouth, you want a little splinter. No one has any loss from that. But if people see you taking splinters off fences, and everyone has the same bright idea, huh, free splinters. So before you know it, everyone will come, and the fence will be gone. And therefore, the Mechaber Paskins that is a midas chasidus, a person should not do. Now, it's mistaver, the case over here is that it's still unlikely for this to happen. If it's likely for it to happen, then we're probably not midas chasidus. Then it's probably maker hadin, gazela, people are makbid on it. Because if these things happen, teretz is, it's a very remote possibility. But since by doing this, this behavior of I'm just taking a little bit, no one will mind, since that will cause a personal loss, as a midas chasidus, a person should not do it. Now, l'chari, based on that, the Urias HaKoshin has an interesting qualification. He says it may depend where the fence is. If the fence is in the middle of a city, so if people see you doing it, and everyone starts taking off splinters, before you know it, the fence will be gone. So there, stay away, even though it's not likely, but you shouldn't do it. However, if you're at some rural, you know, it's in the country, and even if everyone that drives by takes off a splinter, it'll take another 1,000 years before the fence is gone, because it's just low traffic. There he says, even on Midas Chasidus, you will not have. So it'll come out. If you have this Wi-Fi connection, it may depend where you are. If you're in the city, so if everyone in the building starts taking advantage of this free internet connection, even if they're all checking their email, You'll have 50 apartments checking their email on the same one person who's paying for the connection. You'll have 50 people checking their email at the same time. You'll crash the system. So whether it's likely or not, in the very least, you'll have this minis chasidus that since a comely day hafsid, you should stay away from it. On the other hand, if you live in Muncie, and at most there are 2, 3, 4 people who are within range of your router, so here, even if everyone checks their email, it's probably not such a chashash. So in such a case, you probably would not have even this midas chasidus.
You said before, by a suffix, then we are.
Yeah, if it's a suffix, I don't know if a suffix, you have to be machmer on the midas chasidus. If what you're doing may cause a loss to the owner, you have to be machmer. If it won't cause a loss, and it's not even clear where if everyone does it together, whether it will be anything, on the midas chasidus, in the stomach, you don't have to be machmer.
We're assuming people see this happening.
What?
Okay,
that's good. I'm not sure that they have to see. If the Urias HaChodesh happens to learn that the point is people are going to see you and learn from your example. I don't know if that's mucha. It could be if everyone starts doing this and everyone starts using this kula, that it's just a little splinter, the result will be chaos. Now, what's interesting is, if you look at the Medrash, so we started off, Kaifan al-Midas Stoim is, that Zanyan of Ezeloi Chasar, in Sedoim, they were machbed on it, and they wouldn't allow anyone to have ana, even if it cost them nothing. We hold Kaifan on Midas Stoim, we don't act like that. What's interesting, if you look at the Midrashim and talk about what Sedoim did, one of their other tactics was that if a salesman came to town, what they would do is everyone would come by, everyone would steal one vegetable or a little piece. And everyone would say, it's less than a pruta, what's the big deal taking one little piece? And before you knew it, they arranged for a flash mob. Before you knew it, the salesman was wiped out, everything was gone. Because everyone took pachas mishava pruta. So over here we have both, you have to be very careful. On one hand, if you have something and you're mocked that you don't want anyone to have hana, even when it's no loss, that's a midas stein. But on the other hand, if you're on the receiving end, if you want ahead and start, you want to go ahead and start taking from people, you want to have hana and say, it's only a little bit, it doesn't really make a difference, there fakir. That's a midas stein on the recipient. If you're going to take and a little bit at a time, and not take into account the effect that it'll have on the owner, that's a midas sedoim on the recipient, and that would be usher as well.
What happens if you let people use it for a while? Yeah. Is that like a
Yeah. Once he tells you it's his, it's not a mitzvah shechzika beirabim. Once he tells you to stop, then you have to stop.
If somebody does have a password, can't we say that some people do that? Obviously, the person name resets a network.
So I've heard that argument. That by the fact that it's unsecure, they're basically inviting everyone to use it. However, from my experience, the people that have unsecured connections, they just don't know what they're doing. It's unsecure because they don't. If they knew that anyone who comes by can hack into their system and see all their files, it would be secured very quickly. So it's generally there either because of amaratus or because they just don't know how to secure it. I don't think you can boyois from that and umdu know that they're inviting everyone, free Wi-Fi.
I think that's good if they can hack into your file. It just means they can access Wi-Fi.
Whether they could or not, I don't know. You speak to the computer people about that. But I don't think people do it b'kavana. Some people sure do, but I suspect most of the people who do it, it's just out of ignorance. I mean, the store is providing Wi-Fi. They want. Okay. I'm not familiar enough with what they're doing it for. Yeah. Now this is all obvious. This is all theoretical. This is the Chosh Mishpat angle. But as a matter of practice, if a person has the shayla, he has a neighbor who has an unsecured Wi-Fi. What you should be doing is you should be knocking on his door and telling him he has no business having an unsecured Wi-Fi, because while it's convenient for you to check your email, you don't know what your children are doing with it. You don't know what kind of gizmos or gadgets people in the neighborhood are able to access it with. And therefore, having the unsecured Wi-Fi and letting anyone come and do whatever they want is probably a nichshol rabim. And whoever wants to know more about this, there'll be enough to see for this evening in City Field. Thank you.